Then, suddenly, high above it, an oboe. A single note hanging there, unwavering. Until a clarinet took it over. Sweetened it into a phrase of such delight. This was no composition by a performing monkey. This was a music I'd never heard. Filled with such longing, such unfulfillable longing. It seemed to me that I was hearing the voice of God. Excuse me. But why?
Okay, that's team ministry. Because team ministry is like a symphony. That all of us doing our part, but coming together to blend our sound that we have gifts that we can contribute. H.E. Luckock says, no one can whistle a symphony. It takes an orchestra to play it. So we need to be aware of this. There's a business strategist, Niven Al Curry, and I like some of the things that she said, again, comparing teams to a symphony. One thing she said is, teamwork in an organization is like performing a piece of music. Each employee works as a member of a world-class orchestra. Every note perfectly timed in synchronized harmony. When listening to any song or musical ensemble, one is able to identify the feeling when you hear the music soar and each instrument becomes part of a glorious song. That is teamwork at its best. And it is the analogy that she uses as a leader. And again, we heard a great message from Bob Pacola about the fivefold ministry, their various functions, and how they work. And again, in an apostolic team, such as FCM, we have multiple gifts of the each one of the ascension gifts. And again, we have loads of pastors that are in the group. And again, there might be different ones within the church itself of these giftings. But I just want to refer to you some of the giftings that we have as traveling ministers. And again, we have apostles, we have Bob Pacola, Gary Hines, myself, prophets, we have Wayne Lindsay and Margie Florent. Evangelist, we have Glenn Brown, and you heard him and his passion that he has for souls and laying hands on the sick. John Franco also, again, 91, he finally decided that he's just too old to drive up from Florida to New Jersey every year, so they moved down to Florida. So he's not traveling at all, but again, if you know people that are struggling with illness, then his book, By His Stripes, I Am Healed, I Was Healed, is an excellent resource. It has scripture verses, and then it has declarations to say, and you could use it as a devotional every day. And he also will talk and minister to people over the telephone. Also, Joe McCutcheon is great for street evangelism. Joe is more home on the street with the homeless and everything than he is in a church. And then we have Ted Wentworth, who is a traveling evangelist, and again, will go in and equip the saints as far as stirring up the passion for winning souls. Teacher, we have Paula Vagnelli and also Rose Wentworth. So again, remember, it takes all of the fivefold ministry to prepare God's people for works of service. So if you don't have all five of them represented within your body, you need to consider having different ones come in so that there is that equipping on those areas. Okay, also, Niven says, the flow and coordination are essential in an orchestra. If one instrument is lacking, no other can make up for it. If the piano player is missing, the flute cannot substitute its sound. Similarly, in an organization, each individual employee and each department is essential. They all need to bring their best selves, and they all must work together in harmony. This business model structure, which states that everyone has a role to play, each role represents a value, and everyone contributes to the final vision. Yeah. And again, vision is not the pastor's vision, it's thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And the pastor is the keeper of the vision, but also if you're in a church, you are also responsible to do your part.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, that's what we pay the pastor for. It says, Habakkuk 2:2, write down a revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. And again, you need to have a clear, concise vision like we heard before. And it needs to be something that is spoken on a regular basis. It's actually the vision that is going to cause people to be attracted and then hold them. Why? Because it's something that they can become a part of something bigger than themselves. And that is necessary even to find our purpose and fulfillment by being a part of something bigger than ourselves. The congregation is responsible to help see the vision come to pass. If you don't understand the vision of your local church, please make an appointment with the pastor. Say, what is the vision? And then even through relationship talking, find out how you fit in, what you have in your heart. Talk about what your vision is. We would do administrative packages in a church, and we met with one couple, and they said, you know, we'd really like to have our church do some kind of soup kitchen or something. We go downtown, and this was in Baltimore, to help feed the needy, but we see that there's a need in our area, because this was like 45 minutes away. And we knew from talking to the pastor that he actually had that desire, but again, he didn't have the right person to carry that out. So we were able to connect. So sometimes if you're not expressing your vision, and then even different ministries that would be under the specific bullet points of it. We wanted a drummer, and when we pastored, so we bought a drum and we put it up, and we would pray during the service for a drummer. 2 weeks later, a guy walks in and came up to us then and said, are you looking for a drummer? But if we hadn't had it out there for him to see, he probably would have thought, oh, they probably don't want drums, you know. And it was not the fact at all. Where there is no vision, the people perish, it says, or cast off restraint. That it gives boundaries, but that boundaries are for protection, and so that you're not overlapping and causing damage or not being able to fulfill what God has given. Where there's vision, there's provision. If you go outside the vision, he ain't paying for it. When the church stops doing the vision, they have no reason to exist. The vision is the purpose that they are there. And again, you can have 100 churches straight in a row. And again, I believe during revival, we're not going to have enough churches as it is, because the people are just going to be packed in. It's been prophesied that the last day revival is going to be greater than all the other revivals. And again, the Welsh revival, 70,000 people saved in 2 months, 100,000 by the end of the year. People were packed into churches. One church, they packed so much inside, and then they were standing on the outside. They literally pushed the church apart. That was how hungry people were. And even then, they couldn't meet in churches. They were out in the fields calling out to God and repenting. So again, we need every church there, as long as they're preaching the uncompromised word of God, and again, doing the vision, what God told them to do. Again, for FCM, we have our vision, and it's establishing and strengthening churches worldwide, that we network together to with other groups to build the kingdom. So, and we're winning cities by doing all of this. So again, we have a vision, and what the Bible says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. We had first gotten the vision to plant churches in 1980. It was 1998 before we were able to plant our first church. But in the meantime, God puts the vision, and it's for the, it says it's for a, come on, time.
Appointed
time, thank you. All I could think is fullness of time when Jesus came. And again, after Adam and Eve fell, any time would have been great for Jesus to come in the natural to save men from their sins. But it said he came in the fullness of time. Why? You had the Roman roads so that people could travel freely, that Romans were in power, so there was safety for them traveling. They also had the Romans, so people were wanting to get out from under that bondage and that oppressiveness, so they were crying out for a savior. So there were, and they had one common language. And so again, a lot of times things have to be put into place. And did you ever notice God doesn't work the way we think he should or in the time? But Father knows best. Okay, another thing that Nevin says is trust between people is critical. Every instrument needs to know the right time to chime in. The mission is not to play louder than the rest. And again, this is a band mentality, and this is so often what we see in churches as far as leadership. There's a one-man show. They have to do everything, or in a worship team, one guy wants to be the star, you know, and have the light shining on him. But it's all a team, and that we need to flow together. Yes. Instead, it is to ensure a beautiful blend of every individual sound. Team members or orchestra members must possess a collective mindset. And did you say something about the Borg earlier? It's not like a Borg that we're going around like robots, that because God gives us a freedom of will. And but it's, again, having that vision that holds us together. What are we accomplishing? And again, thank you, Jesus. Again, we're not to control people. It says Jehoshaphat was given control over the kingdom. We have control over the vision, over the pace that things are going to get accomplished. But then, again, people have their free will, and that we can't control them. Okay. Every member can play their own instrument perfectly, but that means nothing if the tones aren't aligned. Everyone must fathom their role in the journey to achieving their ultimate vision. And again, it talks about trust and just some of the things with FCM that we promote and watch out for one another to develop trust. One thing is we don't contact congregational members separately, but through their pastor. Like there were several times where, because of the fluid schedule and everything and bringing people in, that I had to contact Anthony, but I didn't just go ahead and do it. I would call Joanne and ask her if it was okay. I wasn't sure of his work schedule, so I didn't want to wake him up. And again, let's give Anthony a hand for the blessing that he's been. Thank you very much. Again, we don't do that. And because other people have been burned by groups that they've been with, we had one pastor that was with a group and had a youth pastor in his church. Well, the district of the denomination that he was with called up his youth pastor, said, "We want you in our district office to be the head of all of the youth in the district." And the first thing the pastor knew about it was when the guy came and said, "I'm moving to where the district office was," so that he could work in the office. So again, we don't play that game. Again, another guy in a church wanted to plant a church and contacted us, and we said, "Well, have you talked to your pastor?" "No, but I thought you wanted to plant churches." And this was, he wanted to plant a church in the same town that he was attending the church, and found that he didn't want to, he actually had relatives in a town 30 minutes away, and said, "You know, that would be the best, because you would already have family members and everything." No, he wanted the people out of that church. Yeah, and so we said no. Well, unfortunately, he found another group that was willing to do that, split the church. The wife of that guy left him. He had a stroke, had to close everything down. Those people are in parts unknown, probably not going to a church, probably not even serving God because of that wrong. It's not about planting churches. It's about doing things right. And then we had one guy who left one of our churches but still wanted to go to our Bible school. And we said, "No, you're here at the recommendation of your pastor." And even in our manual, we had a code of conduct, ethics. We had one lady at a church one time say, "What does character and ethics have to do with Christianity?" like everything, yeah. And so we said, "No, you have to go back and make it right with your pastor." He did, and actually was restored, ended up staying in the church. But if we hadn't reinforced that, then he would have, again, gone rogue, and who knows, probably had been shipwrecked then. Yeah. So also people that are ordained and licensed with FCM, it's through the recommendation of their pastors. If they leave that church, they are no longer allowed to be credentialized. We're not a license mill. We're not looking for a lot of people just to have numbers. Yeah. It says that we are to know those who labor among us.
Yes.
And if I have someone that comes to me and talks to me about joining FCM, if I can't recommend them, then I won't have them on the team. I had one team member that was mentoring a young man, and he didn't have a covering, and so we did a Zoom call, and I'm just talking, asking questions to this young man about his ministry. And without even asking anything about FCM, he said, yeah, I'd like to be sent out. But then as the conversation went on, his idea of being sent up was not being submissive. He wanted someone to pay for his next trip. And then he had written several books and sent them to me for me to read. And found out he didn't even believe that women should be in ministry. So here he comes, you know, wanting money, wanting to be sent out, and didn't even believe that I was a valid gift. I mean, it was like, and plus he had some other weird doctrines. And again, I want to encourage you, please have hermeneutical studies. Bob Pakola has a great teaching. I think I saw, Julie, that you're starting one, because there are so much these days that's not just bad doctrine, it's heresy. And that we need to warn people, we need to be able to defend what it is that we believe, and then correct people in love, speaking the truth in love, that we need to do that, because these people are being shipwrecked right and left. And we find a lot of times what happens is people that have a propensity towards wanting to do something immoral, they'll adapt these doctrines so that they could justify what they are doing, or because they start teaching it, they don't have a solid foundation, and then they slip away from the Lord. So, muy importante. Sometimes we have people that want us to have just all big name speakers for our conferences. And again, that is not our vision. We want everyone on our team to speak, and to have them, again, that's why we had the other ones patched in that were not able to be here physically, because we have the technology. And that's because we felt that what they had to offer was important, because we decided on the theme together. Each of them decided what their topic was going to be, so that was something God was speaking to them. And again, everyone's done an amazing job. And again, we thank the Griffins for their hosting, for everyone, the worship teams that we had, for the food, and the sound, and the overhead projector, I'm still calling it. Boy, I'm outdating myself. And did I mention the food?
Yes.
And the food.
You had me at food.
And again, so that people can come to the local conferences. We pay for the hotels, so again, it would not be a hindrance for people to come. And our national team, our affiliates, we pay for their traveling expenses and then the hotel for during the time of the conference. And for team members, we set them up in local churches in the area to speak to help defray costs. And also it promotes fellowship and getting to know one another. And I would encourage you to fellowship in this area with one another. But also, we have some great videos on our website. How many have ever went on our website? If you'll look at team members now, and I think all of you that are here, your interview, Meet the Team, that Gary Hines did. And that's a great way to get to know other people that you may have not met sometimes because they're not able to come to the national conference and they're in a different area. And again, to find out what their backgrounds are, how what their strengths are, again, so that you can have their impact in your church. Again, Niven says, on another level, speaking of teams, diversity and inclusion are crucial. Can you imagine an orchestra with one instrument? It would sound dull. The more diverse the instruments or team members, the better the harmony. And diversity allows balance, sustainable success, and reduces room for blind spots. And again, we had actually a prophecy, and I want to read this, because the Bible says, iron sharpening iron, as one man sharpens another. And this was during the July conference. Actually, John Iman gave this during the ordination service. And I think this speaks of that. It says, the Lord has given me a word for Sylvia FCM and the candidates. He is saying the battle has been hot and heavy these past months and years. And the edge of the weapon FCM has become pitted and the point of the weapon has become dull. But in these days, and particularly tonight, as these respond to the call of God, those being ordained, to step up and fill in the gap, the all right, just because I'm talking about John Iman, I don't need to do a coughing fit here. Continue to wage warfare. Take the offensive for FCM and the men and women of God who have committed themselves to the cause of Christ throughout this network of interdependent ministries is going to have impact as never before. So stand fast and press forward, for yours is the victory through Jesus Christ. And FCM is being honed and sharpened to accomplish great things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So again, it's that iron sharpening iron, what each of us bring to the table, what each of us have, that is going to cause a sharpening. And lastly, there is a Greek word in the Bible, symphonio, and is where we get the modern English word symphony. And it's used to describe being in agreement, in unison, in one accord, to speak together, to concur with one another. And in Matthew 18, 19 and 20, if you could put that up, Jesus said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So again, we want to come into agreement with people who are like-minded. This isn't just talking about medals and, okay, yeah, I agree. No, these are people who love you and are in baptized into the body of Christ, that they care for one another, they empathize with them, that they want to have them in their life, and they know that they have their back, that when they say, I'm going to pray for you, it's not just to try to push you off, that they are sincere in that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.